Today, I would like to discuss the minhag of reciting LeDavid Hashem Oiri during Chodesh Elul and the Aseres Yimei Teshuva. Where does this minhag come from? So it's quoted in the name of the Arizal, like many minhagim. Let's first discuss, before we get to who said to do the minhag, where it comes from, because that's interesting in and of itself. Those who do say and those who do not say LeDavid Hashem Oiri. Let's just first discuss some of the reasons. The basic reason why we say LeDavid Hashem Oiri is because it comes from the Arizal. It comes from really a much earlier sefer called, I'll tell you the name of the sefer, one of the Kadmoinim, called Rav Shamsi Mashkoiv. Sefer called Shem Tov Katan. Rav Chaim from a Mekubal, Rav Chaim HaKoyin Zatzal. It's brought down in the Siddur of the Arizal, and another collection of Kadmoinim did have this minhag to recite LeDavid Hashem Oiri. Now, why? What is special about LeDavid Hashem Oiri during the Aseres Yimei Teshuva? So, one of the main reasons is because of the number 13. In this Mizmor, which by the way is Mizmor Chof Zayin, it's the 27th Mizmor of Tehillim, that number always appears Chof Zayin, there are 13 references to Hashem's name. 13 times does it say Yud Ke Vav Ke. Now, as you can imagine, on a Tainus, what do we focus on? We focus on the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. We always Hashem, Hashem Kel Racham Chanon, a revelation of Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the 13 Midos of Rachamim. On a Tainus, and even on the Sholosh Shulgalim, it's a very mystical and holy custom when we open the Aron to take out the Sifrei Torah on Sholosh Shulgalim, we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Therefore, during this period of time, during the year where we certainly need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim, we say LeDavid Hashem Oiri, because that's what it alludes to in the fact that 13 times does Hashem's name appear. Now, if you'll ask a question, if that's the case, there is one other Mizmor in Tehillim that also has Hashem's name 13 times, and that's Mizmor Lamed Gimel. Mizmor Lamed Gimel, Ranenu Tzadikim BaHashem, we say this on Shabbos, Pesukei Dezimra. Also, there are 13 times, Ranenu Tzadikim BaHashem La Yeshad Mevasihila. So why not that Mizmor? It's a good kasha. Obviously, there has to be more to it than just the number 13 references in Mizmor Chof Zayin. Another reason, there are Kuf Mem Ches Tevos, 148 words in the Mizmor LeDavid Hashem Oiri. And that, according to some of the Mekubalim, explain in Kemach, Ein Torah. And in Torah, in Kemach, we are Mespalel Mavakesh Rachamim for life. And life, the basic staple of life is Kemach, Torah, sustenance. If we're not going to have Kemach, there's not going to be Torah. So that's also something which contributes to the significance of this Mizmor. Another very important reading about this Mizmor, we say the pasuk Lulei Hamanti Leros Betuv Hashem Yeretz Chaim. The word Lulei is the word Elul backwards. And that's why in Chodesh Elul we want to make reference to why backwards, because throughout the entire year we race through the year. After Rosh Hashanah, we're off to the races. We do this, we do this, we don't think about life, we just run through life. And then when it comes down to the end of the year, it comes to the time of Yimei HaDin, Yom Neroim, when we realize we soon need to give a Din V'cheshbon, we then look backwards. We look backwards, did we really accomplish and fulfill the role of what we were supposed to do throughout the year? And this takes place during Chodesh Elul. That's the time when we reflect on our past. Therefore, Elul, Lulei, as the Oseis of Elul backwards, it represents the theme of what is happening during Elul. We're looking backwards. One end, it's Elul. On the other end, it's also Elul is the time when we look backwards the past year. Did we accomplish what we're supposed to do in preparation to tshuva for the Yomim Noram? Because that's the third reason. The fourth reason is very simple. You don't need any chiddush for this. It says The David Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, and Chazal Darshan Oiri is Oiri B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yishi B'Yom HaKippur. This is a Chazal. Where is the Chazal? I don't have it in front of me, but it's a famous Chazal. Oiri B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim. And Memela goes out saying that in preparation for the Yom Ne'aram, we should say a mizmah that reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore,
what?
Oiri, my light. My light, my salvation, my salvation. Oiri is interpreted to refer to Rosh Hashanah. Hashem is our light in Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem is our salvation on Yom HaKippurim. Mimi Ira, and therefore, who shall I be afraid of? I'll be successful Yom HaDin. And what else? We then go say, Ki Yitzpineni B'Sukho, Hashem has sheltered me in His Sukkah. So since it is mentioned to Sukkah, that's all part of the series of Chagim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. So Ma'atav Manum, that we should say this on the time of the Elul of the Yom Ne'aram to say these ideas. Chazal here is, I think I found the Chazal, it is, I think it's a Medrash Shechar Toif of Hashem Oiri B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim. That's where the Medrash comes from. Another reason, what? Medrash Telemket. So it's all over the place, this idea. And again, because you have mention of Sukkos. Another reason why we say this mizmah is because we have here this beautiful pasuk of Acha Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oysov Akesh Shivti Me'es Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. Why? What's the significance? During the time of Elul, Yimei Hadin, we make many requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ask for life, we ask for parnasa, we ask for children, for refuah. The list goes on and on. When there's so many requests, a person can lose focus of what is the ikur and what is the tofel. We want a good life, but not everything that we want are essential. Not are the essentials, are the necessities. Some things are luxuries, some things are mishigasim, some things are narishkeit, some things are good, but it has to be balanced. Therefore, to put everything in the proper context, and everything should only be used to serve Hashem, we specifically conclude davening with this mizmor, Acha Sho'alti. I've made of you, Hashem, during this period of time, Elul, Yom Ne'aram, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, many requests, but everything should only be for the purpose, Shivti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai Lachazois B'Noyim Hashem. It should all be within the proper framework and the proper tafkid of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the right reasons.
What's the difference between She'ela and Bakasha? He uses both.
She'ela and Bakasha. I don't know the answer. You have an answer?
I don't know.
I'm sure you look hard, you'll find, yeah.
I heard one Jewish, I was at the Jewish center on the west side.
Yeah.
And the tone of the tefillah changes. Initially, David HaMelech was very self-confident.
Yeah.
See how it changes in the tefillah itself.
Actually,
I have a shame, I don't have to worry. And suddenly,
there's a shift.
He becomes more, I have to ask. Mm-hmm. And suddenly becomes more uneasy, uncomfortable, David HaMelech. And he's saying, I really have to pray, I have to ask, oh, please, God. So it becomes more dependent.
As you go on, the deeper you go,
as the kippur moves, and that's what the rub there was saying.
Shaila is more like a question, and a bakasha is more like a request.
So what's the question? A question is that you want an answer. A request, you want something material. You want something physical. Okay, I'm sure there are many interpretations. The Malbim. The Malbim in Carmel, he goes through all these words. All these similar synonyms explains the nuances between these words. Okay, so this, now there is one other idea. It's a Kabbalistic idea, which I find very appropriate this year, this time this year, during the election year. Now, I don't know what this means. This is very mystical. I read this. What? No. I don't know. I wasn't going to say it. The only reason I'm saying this is because there's so much going on in the news about the elections, and that's why it just resonated with me more. That, again, review. This is a mystical idea. I don't know where it's coming from. If you look in the Midrashim on this mizmor, L'David Hashem Ori, there is a certain theme. The theme comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chedo Egel. At the time of the Chedo Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim Yisrael first for Mechila, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, Vayam Hashem Solach Lichid Barech. Okay, I'm going to give you Mechila. And during that Tkufa, Hashem says, I'm Vayavra Hashem Alponov, I'm going to teach you the Yud Gimel Mido Sarachamim. And all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, V'niflinu ani v'amcha. We should be separate. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Gemara, a request, do not bestow the Shechina upon the Umos HaOlam. If not for the request of Moshe Rabbeinu, it would appear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to give the nations of the world a dosage of Ruchnius on their level. On their level. We have the Torah, Tayag Mitzvos, we have Nevi'im, we have, and the Goyim, no, Bilam was a Navi, Bilam was a prophet, Bilam was able to see, Bilam was able to see into the future. His Nevuah did not come from a source of Kedusha, came from a source, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him visions. Part of what he saw is incorporated into the Nusach HaTzvila. We say this in Davening. The Torah records these are prophecies. They were gifts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave it, put it into his mind. It did not come to a Koyach of Kedusha. But there was such a Hava Amina for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Goyim some degree of the real thing of Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu felt this would be a very great threat to Klal Yisrael. Because if they'll have Kedusha, and we'll have Kedusha, there's no question their Kedusha is nothing connected to our Kedusha. It's Klal Yisrael's the Orla Amim, and anything that anyone else has, any darg of Ruach HaKodesh and Shechina that anyone else has, is nothing connected to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they are the leaders. But it's still a sakana, because if they'll have epis something, it could mislead and it could misguide the nations of the world. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'niflinu ani v'yamcha. Do not rest your Shechina on the Umos HaOlam. And Hashem granted his request. The Goyim do not have such a thing as the real thing. We don't know what this means. They do have religion. You can't say they don't have religion. There's no question that they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their way. That's the Rambam, they talk about this, the significance of going to church and these things. That's the whole discussion in and of itself. That's not for now. But the Goyim do have something of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Zayim Mitzvah Neinoch. There's a Mahalach. When they do it right or wrong, but there is such a thing of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are morals and there are fundamentals of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which they have to observe, but Shechina, Nevuah, which we don't have today anyway, which we don't know what these things are, only for us. The Niflinu Ani V'Yamcha, because if they're going to get it, who knows? It can be very sakana. Now, what does that mean? Now, why did Moshe Rabbeinu Bedafka ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu this request? Do not be sure the Shechina on the Umos HaOlam at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving Klal Yisrael for the Egel and is revealing the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows Shefa of Bracha of Rachamim, there's a very great danger that the Umos HaOlam will come and chap and take it for themselves. And grab the sources of evil or the impure sources, and that's a time when they're prone to grab, to take away what's being channeled, being sent down to us. Okay, this is an idea. It's very mystical. Now, how does that apply to Ludovid HaShemori? Okay, I don't know what this means, but if you study the Midrashim, there is a certain theme that is hidden in the Mizmar, not to allow the Umos HaOlam to take away our Kedusha. That's the hidden message in Ludovid HaShem. Moshe Rabbeinu's request, V'niflinu ani v'amcha. We, Klal Yisrael, should be separate, apart from the nations. Don't let the nations take away the Kedusha that was meant for us. Don't let them take it for themselves. Now, what does that have to do with El on the Yom Noraim? Because the time of Elul and the Yom Noraim is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the world special bracha. It's a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the heavens, allows us to daven, to mevakesh rachamim. It's a time of ratzon, a time of rachamim. Therefore, if it's a time of rachamim for us, we're vulnerable. The Goyim, whatever this means in the mystical worlds, have now an opportunity to steal and to siphon off this Kedusha that's coming down to us and take it for themselves. Therefore, to reinforce this idea, we have to focus during this period of time, during this time of Eis Ratzon, on the Mizmar LeDavid Hashem Oiri V'Yeshi, which within it represents the theme I don't know how. Of the niflinu, you have to look at the after study of the midrashim. The niflinu ani ve'amcha. Don't let the goyim take away what's meant for us. Don't let them steal and siphon off the kedusha. Now, why do I say this now? I wouldn't normally say this because I don't understand what I'm saying. It's because this year Rosh Hashanah is really the climax, Elul and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and Sukkos of the election of the president in the United States. It's really all climaxing at this point in time. And the president of the United States is not just the president of the United States. The United States of America is in a leadership position for the entire world. And you cannot deny the fact that the president of the United States in our society is the closest thing we have to appreciate malchus. Okay, there is no real malchus, there's no covered malchus today. The president dresses like an ordinary person, and they can say things about the president today that only 100 years ago you would have a person with his head be chopped off for talking like that about the president. But everything is said and done, the power of the office is huge. It is huge and it is significant. And it is, there's something to be said. And it's, and here we are, being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech, Yom Neram is a tkufa of Malchus, Hashem is the Melech HaOlam, and the whole world is tumbling over the Melech of the Aretz. The whole world, the whole United States, and all the other countries, every other country in the world, it's nogea them. How much foreign aid they're going to receive? There's going to be a war, not going to be a war. Everyone is focusing on the Melech. Who will be the new president? He says this word, that word, he takes this word out of the speech, puts this word in the speech, and they vote, and they say yes, they say no. Every little thing is making shockwaves all over the entire world. Benogea, the Melech of the Aretz. But this is the tekufa of the year. It's only a week before Rosh Hashanah, when we should be focusing on the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. It's as if the Shef of Kedush is coming down. There's a sakana. It should not be siphoned off and be stolen, this enthusiasm, this excitement, this Kedusha, to the wrong parties, to people that don't deserve to have it. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said. V'niflinu ani v'yamcha. Hashem, you're forgiving Klal Yisrael. You're revealing to the world the Yud, Gimel, Midos, HaRachamim, Kel, Rachon, Lechan, Erech, HaPayim, Rav Chesed, V'yames. Don't let the Goyim take this away. Don't let the Goyim steal it for themselves. We're vulnerable now. We're low. Don't let them chop it. V'niflinu ani v'yamcha. You read the Midrash and you'll find that this theme is really captured and encapsulated within Levad Hashem Ari, and therefore in a regular year, forget about the election year, the Niflin Aniv Yamcha is very important to focus on. It's a time of Malchus. Don't let the Koychos Hachitzonios, certainly in this time of year we have to be something to focus on, all of this Shefa only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not for the Umos HaOlam. Okay, so we're going to finish. You want to say anything? Okay, so
just in Tanakh trivia,
yeah,
15 times in Tanakh, you have dots on top of words.
50 times?
15,
okay.
Tanakh, you know, like Bruno, Renano, Lule is one of them.
Right, and Tehillim is one of them. Because David Adel was not secure.
You also have dots on the bottom of the letters.
Of which year? Of Lule, really? Wow.
I have never found out why.
Okay, very. Now, some. First of all, when do you say Lule David Hashem? So it's brought down in the Sefer Kabbalah, the Sefer Shem Tov Katan. He said in the morning, and he said in the Erev. What's called the Erev? So Machlekes, the Nusar, the Ashkenazim, is Erev called Ma'ariv, or is Erev called Mincha? You should know it used to be the minute that it was not part of some. It was not part of the Nusach HaTfilah. It used to be the minute that you would say it during the day. You don't say it. It's like in the same way there's a Segula to say Tehillim. You say Perek Shira. Whoever said you make a part of davening, you should say LeDavid Hashem Ori sometime during the day when you finish it. You have time. You say it was not necessarily meant to be incorporated into the Nusach HaTfilah. Somehow it got incorporated. Now where do you say it during davening? So we say it after the Yoim. That's very common. But you should know there used to be Minhagim where you say it after Shmona Esrei, because when you daven Shmona Esrei, in your full Tachnon, that's the time of the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachim. Tachnon, it's Nusach Sard. Ashas, we don't say the Yud Gimel Sarachim, Nusach Sard. They say the Yud, and since the Ikar reason, if you have a little go back to the Ikar, the Ikar reason why we say it is because it says 13 times Hashem's name, corresponding to the 13 Yud Gimel Sarachim. So when you say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim is the time when you should say Ledov Rashem Ari, which would be when you finish Shmona Esrei at the time when you say Tachnon. Some even say when they open up this Harav the Minig, when they open up the Paroches, just like on the Shal Shugalim when they open up the Paroches, they say Ledov Rashem Ari. They say that Yud Yes Yashem Hashem. So to a Monday Thursday when they open up the Paroches, that's when you say Ledov Rashem Ari, because it has there the 13 times. Now there are many people. Now this is very interesting. In my life, the first Dam Yung Israel, they say Ledov Hashem Oiri. What do they say? They say at the very end, after they finish, they say at the end. What do? You blow shofar. So you say Aleinu V'Yoyim Ledov Hashem Oiri, and then you blow shofar.
No, blow shofar first,
and then Ledov Hashem.
Really? That's not how they did in the Young Israel.
Okay.
And then I was in Chaim Berlin for many years. They did it the same way. They did Aleinu, the Yom, LeDavid, and then they blow Shofar. All of a sudden, I would say 10 years ago, they changed the meaning. Chaim Berlin, they changed the meaning. Chaim Berlin is like, mamish, this is like heavy duty stuff.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I don't remember, they changed it a few times. They kept on experimenting, but they say Aleinu, the Yom, then they blow shofar, and then you say, do it all over?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Why do they do it like that? They want to show that it's not that I don't know what, because maybe because you say you blow shofar and then you say Lashem Oiri. Oiri is Rosh Hashanah, so you want to be soimech the call shofar to LeDavid Hashem Oiri, which is Rosh Hashanah time. That's what you want to be to be samach. Until when do you say it? The first you show there are places brought down. You should say it three times. You should say Shacharis Mincha Ma'arif. I used to have to do that because I used to daven. Daven an Ashkenaz Ma'arif. I used to all the years. It's daven Yeshiva, daven Svart, daven Mincha Nusach Svart, and daven Ma'arif in Young Israel Ashkenaz. So I would say it three times a day. Shacharis Mincha Ma'arif. Now I'm just the opposite. Now I don't say Ma'arif. Yeah, I don't say it at all because I daven Mincha now Ashkenaz. I daven smar of smar, so now I get away making up all those years. I said it double. Now I don't say it. It evens out. Okay. Until when do you say it? Until when do you say it? So some say it until Hoshana Rabbah. Why until? This is something new to me. Very interesting. Why until Hoshana Rabbah? Because Hoshana Rabbah, this is an interesting thing to remember. Hoshana Rabbah is the 20, you know, we all know that Chavav, the number 26, is a very mystical number. 26, but 26 also, Yud Kei Vavke, is the gematria of Yud Kei Vavke. 26, that's like, you know, the most mystical number in the alphabet.
What is 26?
26, the gematria of Yud Kei Vavke.
No, I understand. But
Hoshana Rabbah is the 26th day since creation.
Oh.
It's because the world was created on the 25th day of Elul. So when you get to Hoshana Rabbah, you've already come to the Shlemus, whatever this means, of course. I don't know, it's all hocus pocus to me, these numbers. But you get to the 26th day of creation. 26th day of creation, you've reached a certain darga in Hashem's world. Yud Kei Vavke. That's it. Shmini Atzeres, he no longer need the Yod Gimel Midas Harachamim. So on Shmini Atzeres, some have the custom, you don't say. But that's not common. The common minig is that you do say it on Shmini, you say it until Simchas Torah.
Yeah.
You say it the first day, the Chustiot, you say it the first day Shmini Atzeres, but you don't say it on Sukkis, because it's Akan says, Kiyat Spineni B'Sukko, Hashem will shelter me in the Sukkah, so the Sukkah only goes until Shmini Atzeres to those who sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. But Simchas Torah, L'chol HaDeyas, you don't sit in the Sukkah, so there's no need to say it when you get to to Simcha Aster. So different minhagim when it ends. Now, not everyone says this. Who does it sans? And there are a lot of people who do not say, why not? Because Sfaradim L'chor do say it.
Sfaradim.
What?
Not Nusach
Sfaradim. Sfaradim. Syrian. Yeah, L'chor they do say it. I would assume they do say it. I don't think that from their results, certainly, they are certainly... They certainly have no problem saying it. Okay, now why do you not say it? So this is a very, very interesting, controversial thing. And if you want to really hear all the details, you should listen to Rabbi Schneer Lyman, the Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman, why you tur.org. You can easily find the Shear from Rabbi Schneer Lyman on this topic, because one of the major makaros where this minhag comes from is a sefer called Chemdas Yisrael. And Chemdas Yisrael was suspect by many gedolim as being written, authored by a follower of Shabtai Tzvi. And it was believed that Shabtai, it was assumed, it was very controversial that since the one who wrote the sefer Chemdas Yamim was, what did I say, Chemdas Yamim or Chemdas Yisrael? I don't remember. I said Yisrael, I don't remember. Is it Chemdas Yamim? I think it's called Chemdas Yamim. Chemdas Yamim author was Shabtai, from a follower, and it was assumed that it came from Shabtai, one of his innovations. He had many strange things that he introduced, and he fooled a lot of Gedolei Yisrael, of Shabtai Tzvi. He fooled a lot of people, and he, and all these things that he added to davening and did these strange things, and one of the things he did was this. He was Misakin, you should say, L'davar Hashem Ori, Alpi Kabbalah, 13 times, Hocus Pocus, and all these numbers, and so on and so forth. And the Hasidim, if you study history, how, what a horrible backlash it was for Klal Yisrael, Shabtai Tzvi. Anything that had any remote connection to Shabtai Tzvi was banned 100 times over. And therefore, many people, Al Shom Safik, Chas Shalom, not to say, L'davar Hashem Ori, not to be a follower of anything to do with any innovation of Shabtai Tzvi. However, it's been proven by, I think Rabbi Lyman discussed this in very great detail, that it really precedes the Sefer Chemdas Yamim by many, many years. There are much early Chemdas Yamim, I think it's been proven that even though at the time when it was banned, it was only known from the Sefer called Chemdas Yamim. I don't know all the names of these Sfarim and all the whole Yichus. One day we have to study the Yichus of all the Hasidic Rebbes and put everything in perspective. But it was discovered that it came from a much, much earlier source. It had nothing to do with the Chemdas Yamim. He just quoting things that were already done. And even the Chemdas Yamim, the Gra says that he has a parish on the Gemara Masech, the Brachos and Daf Ches. And the Gra says there's no way in the world the Chemdas Yamim could have been a Sabbatian, because the Chiddush that he writes there in his Sefer is so holy. Only a tzaddik, he said, Olam can say such a thing. It's not shaykh, this person could have been a Sabbatian. So it's extremely controversial on many levels. Was he a Sabbatian? Am I saying that right? Sabbatian?
Sabbatian?
Sabbatian? That's one issue. Even if he was, so what? Does this have anything to do with anything? But the ultimate proof is that really the minhag levush came from a much earlier source. Okay, so that's something which now there is a legend. Rabbi Lyman mentions this legend. He mentions all the names much better than I can ever do. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story, and again, you have to refer to, I haven't heard the tape in a very long time. You gotta refer to the tape. But the story goes that the Baal Shem, this person called the Baal Shem Tov, is it the Baal Shem Tov? I don't know if it's the Baal Shem Tov, no, Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. I'm sorry. Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. Okay, the Sefer, there's a very holy tzaddik called Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. And at this point in time, whether it was 400 years, 500 years ago, whenever it was exactly, I do not know, way, way back in the beginning of time of Hasidus, where there was a gezeira, there was a king. The king did not have children. There was a king, he did not have children. And he asked the Jews, they should be mispalel for him, that he should have a child. He was childless. And if the Jews do not pray for him, and do not intercede to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he should have a child, he'll kill all the Jews. Strange to say, but this is the legend, this is the story, the way the story goes. The king did have children, he told the Jews, you better be mispalel, if I don't have a child, I'm going to kill you all. And this person, all the gedolim, they know what to do. They can't go. If you're not going to have children, you're not going to have children. It's not in our power. This person, Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem, told the king, "You will have a child within 12 months. You will have a child." And he had a child within 12 months. And everyone asked him, "How did this happen?" So he told them, it's a very strange story, that he went to Shemayim, and he went to the koyches of kedusha, to the good part of heaven. And he told them, we need this king, better have a child or else we're finished, it's curtains. And they said, nothing doing. Too bad. It's a gezeira he milafanai. That's the way it's going to be. Whatever will be, will be. They went. Then he went to the sitra achra, whatever this means. He went to the dark side, and he negotiated with the dark side to bring out pikachas atumah to give the king a child. And the dark side said, "Nothing doing. There's no child. Whatever will be for you Jews will be." Until the Baal Shem Tov, Eliyahu Baal Shem Tov, had to negotiate with the Satan himself. Again, refer to Reliman, he has all the details. Refer to the Satan he negotiated, so the Satan made a deal with him. This person wanted to institute two takonas to Klal Yisrael. Number one, to say L'David Hashem Oiri, he was the original, the author of this minug, L'David Hashem Oiri. And the other minug was to say Kigavna, Friday. Okay, the Ashkenazim say Bamem Aligin, and the Sfaradim say Kigavna. It's hard for me to read those words. Hard words. Kigavna. Think Bruch Shnei is hard. Try Kigavna. So he was misaking these two things in the world of Kabbalah. Kodesh Kadashim is an understatement. The power of saying L'David Hashem Ori and saying Kigavna are just beyond mystical belief what they could accomplish. So the Sun said, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll give the king a child. I'll pull strings in heaven that the king will have a child. If you will give in, you will deny Klal Yisrael the Kedusha that you're planning to bestow upon them with your takana that they should say L'David Hashem Oiri and say Kigavna." So he made a deal. And the deal was that he had different Talmidim. You have to know the entire history of Hasidus, which I do not know. The entire history of Hasidus, of all the Talmidim, the children, the Talmidim, he had two major Talmidim, and he was planning on teaching both of his Talmidim to say L'David and Kigavna. One Talmud, he said, "You should say L'David," and one Talmud he told, "You say Kigavna." The deal was they would, not everyone would say both. And that's why Ad Hayom Hazeh, you study Sanz and Babov and Satmer, they only do one, not the other. Some of them do Kigavna, but they don't say L'David. Some of them say L'David, and they don't say Kigavna. That was part of the deal that the Baal Shem, it's a legend, that the Baal Shem Tov, the Eliyahu Baal Shem Tov made with the Satan, not all of the Hasidim will do both. And that way, it's a diminishment of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. If the entire Klal Yisrael would be saying both Kigavna and L'David, wow, Mashiach would have been here, whatever that means. But that was the deal. You have to give in to the Satan. You give in your, I'll give in mine. And that's why now, it seems like it says here in the Sefer that everything today is watered down anyway. We don't know what these things mean. So anyway, a lot of the Hasidim anyway do both anyway today. They do both. Because today, everything today doesn't have, we lost the whole flavor of what all these things mean anyway. And everything is watered down and doesn't make a difference anyway. So everyone became a chos, everyone became a litvak. Everything became one big chant. Okay, that's the legend. So pretty much that covers the inyan of L'David Hashem Ori, all of these reasons, and the reason you say, you don't say it when you say it. So let me just tell you one quick vard. I know it's not only 5 minutes, not going to be later than 1:45. Let me just tell you one quick vard on the Daf Yomi. Today's Daf Yomi, we have the Gemara. The Gemara says a person does not say a bracha. He is a choyte. He is a... He is